Welcome back in the press row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal along with Wells Guthrie. Hoping everybody out there is having a terrific, terrific Thursday. Well, it is always a pleasure on press row to welcome back Ken Rogers of NFL Films, who is the producer of tonight's Al Davis versus the NFL. That can be seen on ESPN at 9 o'clock. And Ken, as we bring you on, I got to thank you on three fronts. One, we always love having you here in Chattanooga. Two, you have done a fantastic job tonight of filling my Thursday night. I can't get into Pac-12 hoops here in Chattanooga like I can the SEC and ACC. And also, for evoking my favorite era of the NFL. I mean, Wells looked at me funny yesterday when I said, I'm looking as much forward to this as I am the Super Bowl, because in the mid-70s, I lived and died with the Los Angeles Rams. I couldn't stand the Raiders. The only thing I liked about the Raiders is we had a color TV and a black and white TV, and I thought it was cool that the Raiders looked the same in both. So thank you on three fronts, and welcome back to Press Row.
Well, you're welcome, you're welcome, you're welcome.
Well, first off, how long is tonight's 30 for 30? Is it 90 minutes or 2 hours?
It's a 90-minute show, and it's packed full of craziness that, I'm in my mid-40s, and so in the 1980s, when a lot of this stuff was happening between Al Davis and Pete Rozelle, I was probably watching the A-Team or Knight Rider or something, so I didn't see a lot of this happening, and if it happened today, Twitter would explode. There's just crazy, crazy things happening in these courtroom battles that I couldn't believe when I saw it, and it's action-packed, even though it's a courtroom drama.
All right, what was your motivation in taking this one on?
You know, Al Davis has always been a character that you can't turn away from. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's incredible. Not just his personality, but in his accomplishments. A lot of people don't remember, but by the end of 1983, at the end of Super Bowl 15, his team had won three of them. And sure, the Steelers had four of them, but the Raiders had a better winning percentage at the time. So the Raiders really were a dominant team, if not the dominant team, and they had a brand that you just knew instantly. Everyone knew the Raiders. I mean, the Raiders were the Yankees of football. They were just the brand that was at the top of brands. They were just recognized wherever they went. That logo, the black and silver, it just. The players were known. They all had nicknames. Every game they played in seemed to have a controversial ending. It was amazing. So Al Davis was a shoe-in, but this was really a perfect timing because 2020 to me marked the end of the Pete Rozelle Al Davis battle, because this new stadium that they have now in Las Vegas, Allegiant Stadium, to me marks the end of the fight that Al Davis had started in 1980 against Pete Rozelle. That's what he wanted, a new stadium. That's what he fought to move to Los Angeles for, is because the Coliseum in Los Angeles promised and never delivered that they were going to refurbish the Coliseum and add luxury boxes and make it a state-of-the-art stadium. So from 1980 on, he wanted a new stadium, and not till 2020 did his son deliver his dream. So it seemed like a great time to look back at that war now that a ceasefire had finally been called.
Ken, Al Davis has been gone for nearly 10 years. Pete Rozelle's been gone for nearly 25. Who helped you fill out the gaps?
Great question. And We had to ask that to ourselves very early on. You know, who tells this story? From what point of view? And we knew that the players and coaches, you know, they were too busy playing and coaching. They didn't really know what was going on in the courtrooms. The people at the league office, you know, they had their own jobs. It was really lawyers and judges, and a lot of them had passed away as well. Certainly Al Davis and Pete Rozelle had passed away. We weren't left with anybody. So what were we going to do? we decided, well, we just want to hear from Al and Pete. I mean, that's the relationship. And we have 85% of it in archive material. They talked a lot in the actual day in the 80s and 90s, but we need somebody from today to give the perspective of time. And in the past, filmmakers have hired actors and put on a wig and said, oh, you act like Al Davis and tell a story. But we decided to use modern technology. So in this film, we have stand-ins walking around Allegiant Stadium, and we use deepfake technology, the sort of technology used in Star Wars to bring Princess Leia back, even though Carrie Fisher had passed on. The kind of technology that Martin Scorsese used to make Robert De Niro younger in The Irishman. The deepfake technology to create a digital mask of Al Davis and Pete Rozelle and put those masks on stand-ins and then use impressionists to create the voices of Al Davis and Pete Rozelle so that the story of Al Davis versus Pete Rozelle is told by Al Davis and Pete Rozelle walking around Allegiant Stadium in 2020.
Wow.
As their spirits reminiscing late at night, walking around an empty, dark stadium, remembering the war that was.
All right, you do not have to talk particulars, and I'm not asking you particulars, but after hearing you say that, is it safe to say that Al Davis versus the NFL might be one of the more expensive 30 for 30s ever produced, given that you're unloading the CGI on us?
I wish it was, you know. I wish I had the money that Martin Scorsese gets, but it wasn't. So we really had to pinch our pennies for sure. I can tell you this, it's definitely... We put our butts on the line. That's for sure. You know, it's definitely something we had to. When we decided it, we all sort of gulped and said, "Okay, we're really going to do this," you know, because we knew, you know, it would get that sort of reaction. Like, you did what? You decided to do what? bringing Al Davis and Pete Rozelle back in a science fiction setting, walking around in 2020, isn't an easy decision to make, but. We just kept coming back to how cool would it be to hear from Al Davis? You know, I don't want to hear from a sports reporter or, no offense, a radio guy.
Right. You got me both.
You know, who was around in 1983 and, you know, tells me about, yeah, once I saw them have a conversation. You know, I want to hear from Al Davis himself. And I decided to go for it.
You're listening to Ken Rogers of NFL Films, the producer of tonight's Al Davis versus the NFL 30 for 30 that makes its debut on ESPN at 9 o'clock. Ken, how much did you rely, I mean, after all this that you've been talking about, how much did you rely on Mark Davis to talk about his dad?
So Mark Davis does make an appearance, and it is, it's really enlightening. You know, he... talks with Brent Musburger, who's now the radio voice of the Raiders, and Brent sort of provides a framing device, a spine of the film, as an introduction and near the end of the film. Mark Davis gives a modern perspective of how the new stadium came into being, and he has something that really struck me pretty hard, and that is that he learned from his father what not to do. And that struck me a lot, that his father paid a price. And certainly Pete Rozelle, and you'll see in the film, paid a heavy physical price, smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day, stressed out by Al Davis and the other things that were happening in the 80s in the NFL, and probably lost years of his life because of the stress of his job. And Mark Davis learned that Al fought with bitterness too much. And in Mark Davis's word, he learned that maybe it's better to use sugar instead of salt when dealing with the league. And Mark Davis, when he lost out on moving to Los Angeles a couple years ago, decided not to peddle in pettiness and and bitterness, and worked with Roger Goodell and the other owners to figure out a way to move to Las Vegas. And it ended up working out better for Mark Davis and the Raiders. And by going against what his father might have done, which is go to war, it all worked out. And he ended up fulfilling his father's vision because of the lessons he learned by watching his father go through something for decades.
You know, when you think about the history of the 30 for 30s, I mean, the success of the Fab Five with Michigan in the early 90s, you know, there was a huge segment in there about the Michigan-Duke rivalries, and that kind of led to the I Hate Christian Laettner 30 for 30. Do you think there's a 90-minute segment, a 30-minute 30 for 30 out there on Mark Davis's hair?
You know, I think one day there might be a 30 for 30 on Mark Davis's hair and Mark Davis in general, and then Al Davis will make an appearance like Yoda appears in Star Wars. His deepfake will appear like Yoda and give advice. I don't know that we've heard the last of Al Davis.
All right, there were the Raiders win Super Bowl 11, they win Super Bowl 15, and they win Super Bowl 18. And I believe in all three instances, Pete Rozelle presents the Lombardi Trophy to Al Davis. Where, I mean, when you went back and looked at that footage, I bet it was kind of wild just to see, are there kind of different levels of awkwardness on each of those three occasions?
Oh, yes, there certainly is. Because 11, you know, it's not quite into the wartime era of Rozelle versus Davis.
Right.
And 15, the lawsuit had just been being cast, and so the trials had not started, but the lawsuit had been put into play, and so they were just starting to go after one another, and the hatred was starting to form, and the bitterness, I should say, was starting to form. Now, by the 83 team, the Super Bowl presentation was definitely one that was fraught with peril and could have really gone the wrong way. In fact, we have Pete Rozelle on the stand actually mentioning how good the Redskins were that year, and you can see Al Davis roll his eyes that Pete Rozelle is mentioning the losing team in what at the time was the biggest margin of victory in a Super Bowl. The Raiders destroyed the Redskins.
Right.
And here's Pete Rozelle saying what a great team the Redskins were. And Al just rolls his eyes, and it's such a great little moment. You can tell that there's no love lost between them. But yet, it's odd that, and maybe not so surprising, that it never really led to anything. I think they both loved the NFL enough that they weren't about to let it turn into a scene.
Got a couple more minutes here with Ken Rogers of NFL Films, the producer of tonight's Al Davis versus the NFL, which airs on ESPN tonight at 9 o'clock. The starting point, I read ESPN.com had a really good piece on the relationship, kind of a timeline, and I know in 1960, Rozelle walks in as this really younger than expected commissioner, and I guess Al Davis was assistant on the AFL's Chargers staff. Is 1960 kind of the go time on the starting point of this, or does it go back even further than that?
Well, they met a little bit earlier than that. They met, I think, around 1953, Al was selling scouting reports on the side, and he met with Pete, who was a PR man with the Rams, and he was trying to sell Pete scouting reports of pro teams, and Pete turned him down. And I'm not so sure it was a contentious turning down, but they did know each other. Football wasn't a huge world back then. But the contention really came once they were both commissioners. You know, Pete became commissioner at age 33, and a little bit later, Al Davis became commissioner of the American Football League. And so they were rival commissioners of two different leagues. And if it were up to Al, they would have continued fighting for until one league was standing. They would have never had the merger. They would have never agreed to a peaceful merging of the league. But the owners of the AFL went behind their own commissioner's back, behind Al Davis's back, to merge with the NFL, with Pete Rozelle's league, because Al would have never allowed it. He would have fought to the death. He wanted to destroy the NFL. He wanted the AFL to be the only team left and make the NFL crawl to the AFL and make the surrender be on his terms. That didn't happen, and the merger happened. The surviving league was still named the NFL, not the AFL. The surviving league was led by Commissioner Pete Rozelle, not Commissioner Al Davis. And the bitterness really continued from there. There were, you know, definitely some hard feelings that, but they were coworkers now, so they lived with it. But once the 70s were over, they just could no longer live with it. The business instincts were so opposite that old hatred just came back roaring to life when the stadium issue reared its head.
Ken, my final question is, of course, we're on the doorstep of Super Bowl 55, and COVID this week is still kind of on the periphery as far as this game and everybody being healthy. You know, I know it probably wouldn't draw huge interest today, but do you think 5 years down the road there might be a, you know, the NFL season transpiring in COVID? Do you think, you know, in this COVID era, do you think that might be a good 30 for 35 years from now?
Maybe 10 years from now.
Okay.
I think maybe some even more distance. I hate to say it, but, you know, 5 years from now, I think the ramifications of COVID will still be knocking around this country. Unfortunately, I hope not the case, but, you know, I think distance is important, and that's what was important with this film too. You don't want to do it too close to the source and material, because people already have their opinions about it formed. You want to be far enough away. You know, you look at something like The Last Dance. If you had done it as soon as that season had ended, it would have been, I just saw them win the title. But you go 35 years later and you go, holy cow, like, that's right, I remember all that. Oh, now a totally different perspective. I think there's enough drama this year in all of sports, and not just with COVID, but with the social justice reforms and the protests that happened this summer with teams stepping out of games and out of practices, that 2020 into now 2021 is a huge year in the history of sports for many reasons.
Well, listen, Ken, as always, you've delivered, and certainly looking forward to watching Al Davis versus the NFL tonight at 9:00 on ESPN. Ken, thank you so much for visiting with us here again in Chattanooga. And like I said, we're all looking forward to this, and we always appreciate your visits.
All right. I thank you very much. Talk to you next time.
Sounds great. Ken Rogers of NFL Films joining us. 648-1051 is the number. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.